Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
Yesterday was April Fool's Day. Did anybody get anybody yesterday? Anybody get got? A couple of people got. So, cool. I always thought April Fool's Day should be a national holiday, maybe in honor of Congress or something. Is that on tape? Yeah, okay. Anyway, in honor of April Fool's Day, the title of my talk this morning is The Language of Fools. Whenever I speak from this platform, I like to talk about things that apply to all of us. And I'm pretty sure we've all been fooled a time or two, and I'm sure we've all acted like fools a number of times too, though we try not to make a habit of it. Most of us have made foolish decisions in our life about our money, about our love life, about our career, and we've probably done some pretty foolish things with our body time and time again. I know I have. As a matter of fact, it occurred to me when I was putting this talk together that there were a number of times I wouldn't have looked nearly so foolish if I had just kept my mouth shut. All right? Either people wouldn't have noticed what I did, or they wouldn't have felt the need to laugh or say, "I told you so." Not that I didn't deserve it. It's just that I realize now, since I've been in this teaching, how I created so many of those situations myself by not paying attention to what I was saying. Now, I thought I was paying attention. I was being clever, or I was being cute, or I was being whatever I was being. Hard to believe me, but it took me a long time to realize what all the great teachers meant when they said that our words are creative. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. Now, we frequently talk here about the idea, what we call a spiritual truth, that our thoughts are creative. And that's a basic premise of this teaching. Angela was talking about it. But our thoughts are one thing. What about the words we speak or the words that we write? First of all, it's important to understand that any words that we express externally are simply the physical expression of our thoughts, obviously. They're thought put into form, into sound or vibration or symbols, whatever, just like our bodies are spirit, invisible spirit put into physical form. So that means that our words not only have all the power of our thoughts behind them, it also means that we're actually projecting our thoughts out into the world. So our thoughts are no longer something invisible, just rolling around in our mind where we can change them as much as we want. And if we don't say anything, nobody has to know what they are. Now they're real. Now they're real once they get out. When we speak out loud, other people get involved. So we're committed. And if what we say is a good idea, if it's a positive, intelligent, and loving idea, then people usually respond positively. And our words produce something that we can be proud of. But if our words are negative or angry or fearful or resentful or any of the other misguided motivations that appear to be less than spiritual, then our words are probably going to create complications that we are eventually going to have to deal with. That is what I call the language of fools, just so we know where that came from. Now, in the Christian Bible, we are told, the teacher Jesus said, great statement, I love this. He said, "The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Now that's a great statement, but we have to understand what it means. We have to understand the context. He's not just talking about his words, he's talking about everybody's words. He says, "These are my words and they're creative, but your words are creative for you." It also says in Matthew a little bit later, "For every unfounded word people utter, they will answer on judgment day. Since it is by our words we will be justified, and by our words we will be condemned." Now, I want you to notice something. It doesn't say we will be condemned by God for our words. It says we will be condemned by our words, which is a very different thing. That's a very clear and very simple statement of a very profound spiritual truth that we need to understand. You see, when we begin to understand that we live in a world of cause and effect instead of a world that functions through a law of divine retribution, we begin to realize that every day of our life is judgment day. Every day is judgment day. We don't have to wait till we die to get feedback. We start to see that the world responds very, very quickly and very accurately to our thoughts and emotions. And that response can be either pleasant or unpleasant, depending upon our prevailing pattern of thoughts and emotions at the time. Now, Dr. Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this teaching, if you're new here, he says that all of our experiences are the logical consequences of whatever we have accepted into our consciousness. All right? Now, stuff comes in and out of our consciousness all the time, but it's not going to affect us unless we accept it. And the stuff we accept creates our experiences, all right? However, once we allow our opinions and beliefs to reach the external physical stage, once we open our mouth or we take some other action that takes our thoughts outside of us, that's when things start to accelerate, either for better or for worse. It's sort of like writing a letter when you're angry. I know not many of us write regular letters anymore, but it used to be when somebody did something that we didn't like, somebody broke our heart and done us wrong or whatever it happened to be, we could sit down and we could write them a letter using pen and paper or maybe a typewriter. Remember those things that made all the noise? Okay, we could do that. And we could tell them all the reasons they were wrong and we were right. We could tell them all the things they should or shouldn't have done. And we can let our anger, we used to be able to let our anger just pour out onto the page. But usually, in the process of writing the letter, we cooled down a little bit. We sort of calmed down. We started thinking about how angry or petty or whiny we were sounding once we could start to see what we were actually saying. Even if we got to the point where we put the letter in an envelope and we put a stamp on the envelope, there was still time to think about it. You had to go out to the mailbox or to the post office. You still had time to tear it up. You still had time to open it and rewrite it or just stick it in a drawer and not send it at all. But today, with the speed and the convenience of email and text messaging and tweeting and Snapchat and yada, yada, all that other stuff, lots of people write these angry, poisonous, self-righteous letters or messages about every little thing that annoys them, and they hit the send button and they immediately feel better. They immediately feel better. Reference our tweeter-in-chief, okay? What they don't, and there are others, I'm not picking on him. What they don't realize that is that even though they now feel better, their angry or foolish words, if that's what they happen to be, are now out there. They are now moving around at the speed of light, and these words are creating something. These words are creating something. They're being interpreted by other people. They're creating a future situation or a future confrontation that will reflect the emotion that existed at the time the message was sent. That's very important. At the time the message was sent. When we speak out loud, especially when there are other people around, the effect is even more immediate. Once we open our mouth and we give form to our thoughts, we can't take them back. We can't take them back. For better or worse, we have now created a chain of causation that we now have to live with. And that alone should make us stop and think before we speak. This week, as often happens when I'm writing a talk, something pops up in email or Facebook or somewhere that applies. And there was a story, one of you may have posted it, and it was about a man who lived in a small town, in a small village, and he told a lie about one of his neighbors claiming that the man was a thief, which he wasn't, and the neighbor's reputation was ruined in the community. So the neighbor brought him before a judge, you know, the lawsuit kind of stuff. And the man who told the lie admitted that it had been a lie and that it was only words and he'd be perfectly willing to take him back. So the judge looked at him and he thought a minute and he said, he took a piece of paper and he said, I want you to write down on this piece of paper exactly what you said about your neighbor. So the man did. And the judge says, now I want you to tear that piece of paper up into little pieces. And he did that too. He says, now on your way home, I want you to open the car window and throw all these pieces out. And then come back tomorrow for your sentence. So the man did that. And the next day the man comes back. And the judge said, for your sentence, on your way home, I want you to pick up every piece of paper that you threw out the window. And the man said, you know, how can I do that? The wind scattered the paper. It could be anywhere. And the judge said, it's the same with your words. They could be anywhere. They can do damage that can never be undone. Now, we know this is important socially. Most of us are trained to be polite. We need to be careful with what we say to or about other people. But why is this important spiritually? Because it is. Because it really is. Something specific happens when we speak our word. It does. Anything we say reveals and expresses what we're thinking, and the very act of speaking causes our body to respond. Our breath has to be a certain way to stay a word, the muscles of our face. Our body actually becomes a part of the word. So our language can be a tool or it can be a weapon, just like a hammer or a knife or any number of anything of other things, but only we can decide which of those it will be. Now, the good news is, when we become aware of the power of our words, we can't help but become more careful of our conversations. Not just because doing so is respectful to other people, and not just to keep ourselves out of trouble, both of which are very good reasons to watch what you say, but because of what our words are doing spiritually. Spiritually. If we start to pay careful attention to the reactions that follow our words, we'll realize that nothing we say ever returns to us void or empty, another word for that. And I'm not just talking about the immediate response of the people around us. Most of us can read people well enough to figure out when we say something, whether what we said was funny or dumb or whatever it happens to be, or somewhere in between. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. You see, our words have great power even if no one hears them except us. Even if no one hears them except us. There is a spiritual truism, I like that word, truism, anyway, that says through our spoken word, we are continually making rules for ourselves that affect everything that happens to us on a daily basis. Aldous Huxley, the great American philosopher, once said, our words form the thread on which we hang our experience. Our words form the thread on which we hang our experience. And Tony Robbins, you know, the self-help guru, he said, the way we communicate with others and with ourselves ultimately determines the quality of our life. Great statements. Great statements. I mean, if you think about it, most of our conversations consist of one of three topics. Either we're talking about events, like the thing that happened Thursday night over at I-85, we're talking about other people, or we're talking about ourselves. One of those three. If you eliminated those three subjects, the whole world would sound like a Trappist monastery. People wouldn't have anything to talk about. Now, obviously there's nothing wrong with talking about these things. The problem comes in the way that we talk about them. In the way we talk about them, okay? Usually, we're either expressing a belief or opinion about something, or we're asking someone else their opinion so we can either use it or argue against it. That's what we're doing. In either case, what we are doing when we do that is we are solidifying in our consciousness what we believe to be the truth about the world, about ourselves, or about some other person. Now, the reason this is important from a spiritual perspective, which is what we deal with here, is because what we believe may or may not be true at all. It may or may not be true at all. But here's the key. It becomes the truth for us because of our belief. Dr. Barker, Raymond Charles Barker said, argue for your limitations and they are yours. It's a great statement. And the words we use to support and defend our belief only make the belief stronger. For example, let's talk about the political environment in the United States right now. I was talking to somebody, he said he was at a party last night and people were getting all upset and riled up about stuff. We have all seen and read the news to varying degrees. It's hard to avoid. We've watched CNN or whatever, Fox or whatever we watch. We've looked at the economy and heard people talking about it. We've looked at our job. We look how people are reacting to the events in Washington. And I am willing to bet, maybe a week's pay, month's pay, who'd say, that almost everyone in this room has discussed some aspect of politics over the last week. Anybody here not? No criticism, no comments, no nothing? Anybody? One, Charlotte. Very good. Congratulations. So here's the question. When you said what you said, whether it was with friends or people you did not agree with, what did you say? Did you say you were angry? You were disgusted? You were optimistic? Whatever it happens to be. Did you say things are terrible? Did you say things are great? What did you say? All right. Next question. Would you have said the same thing if you knew that your words were creating your future? If you knew that your words were creating your future, because that's exactly what they're doing. Exactly what they're doing. Now, here's another question to consider. When you said what you said, did you really mean exactly what you said? Or were you just saying it because you thought that it would make you look cool or that other people wanted to hear that? Which was it? I said that our words are powerful because they reflect our beliefs, but what if we don't say out loud what we really believe? Okay? What if we keep saying that we're not worried when we really are? Or that we are worried when we really aren't? What if we keep saying everything's okay when we don't believe it's okay at all? Can positive affirmations, and this goes to the heart of what a lot of people in this kind of a teaching talk about, can positive affirmations lead to positive results if we don't really believe what we're saying? All right? There are some teachings that say they can. This is not one of them. This is not one of them, okay? In the Science of Mind text, Dr. Holmes writes this. He says, in dealing with the universal mind, we are dealing with a power that we cannot fool. We're dealing with a power we cannot fool. You know why we can't fool it? Because the universal mind and our mind are one and the same mind. That's why we can't fool it. If we say we think that things are going to be fine, when way down deep we think that the whole world is going to hell in a handbasket and our life along with it, all right, then the real belief behind our words is what is going to come through and be reflected in our experience. Fear, anger, resentment. If it's in there at any level, it affects our experience. We can't fool Mother Nature is what he was basically saying. It doesn't matter how loudly we affirm something or how often. It doesn't matter how clear and articulate we are. That's why someone, especially here in the South, can smile and say to us, thank you for your opinion. Bless your heart. And we know that what they really mean is take your opinion and stuff it up your nose. Okay? We can tell. Now, that doesn't mean we can't make a significant change in our life by overcoming some negative or undesirable belief using affirmations. Affirmations can be very useful. It just means we have to deal with it at the level of belief instead of at the surface level, at the level of effect, because that's where our mental and spiritual practice comes in. I talk about spiritual practice. Well, when we are doing our spiritual, mental and spiritual practice, first of all, mentally and physically, but it all comes from the mental, we need to step back and recognize what condition in our life isn't working, what condition in our life do we want to change. And then, once again, mentally and physically, we need to make a conscious decision to apply ourselves, which is a nice way of saying, sit your butt down in a chair on a regular basis and take the time to do what needs to be done. That's what it means. That's all done at the mental and physical level. Either we do it or we don't. Very, very simple. But after the mental part, then we need to do the spiritual part. All right? And that's in multiple, comes in multiple ways. We need to recognize there is a power that supports us, whatever direction we choose to go. We need to see ourselves as an individual expression of this power. We need to open our mind to a better idea and to listen for it in whatever way it shows up. And we need to have faith that this process works. We need to have faith that this process works. That's the spiritual part. That's the spiritual part. Now, Unity has a metaphysical Bible dictionary, and they've got a wonderful statement about this principle. I'll read it once, and then I'll read it again. It says, every word we say has in back of it an idea, and the power of the word is primarily in that idea. Then it says, we give that word additional power according to our oneness with that idea and the force of our thought. Very straightforward. Every word we say has in back of it an idea, and the power of the word is primarily in that idea. We give that word additional power according to our oneness, our depth of belief, with that idea and the emotional force of our thought. In other words, the faith and the conviction we have about our belief, as reflected in the way we're talking about it, in whatever area of our life it happens to be, amplifies the power of our word when we finally speak it. It amplifies our word. And you can see this in the speeches of the great speakers. Dr. King, obviously, listened to his I Have a Dream speech, or virtually any of his speeches. Winston Churchill from World War II. Even the quiet words of Mother Teresa. Very quiet, quiet words. Their words are powerful not because they're eloquent and wise and passionate, which they are, but because of the clear consciousness behind the words. The clear consciousness behind the words. If we frequently think one thing and say another, or if we say a lot of things without paying attention to what our words mean, without taking responsibility for what we may be creating, then we're just going to drift through life following whatever idea strikes us, talking about whatever everybody else is talking about at the time, creating random problems and dealing with them in random ways. There are a lot of people that live their entire life like that. But if we take charge of our mind, if we think before we speak, and we allow our spoken word to reflect a balanced, peaceful, and loving spirit, so to speak, then everything that comes back to us will also be balanced, peaceful, and loving. That's the way this works. That's the way the law of mind works. Think for a moment about all the problems in the world that are aggravated by people speaking foolishly and thoughtlessly. All you have to do is walk around town or sit in a restaurant. You can hear it all the time. Take gossip, for example. Some people gossip all the time without even thinking about the damage it does. And not just to the person they're gossiping about, but to them, but to themselves. What we say about others always reflects back at us. And we have all said things that we wish we hadn't said in anger or jealousy or fear that come back to haunt us. We've all used our words to deceive someone, and we always end up deceiving ourselves. We brag about things to make ourselves look bigger, and all we end up doing is make ourselves look smaller. I think we all ought to follow John Wayne's advice. I love that. He says, well, pilgrim, talk low, talk slow, and try not to say too much. I thought, gee, that'd calm things down. But the most damaging use of language, spiritually speaking, is when we speak poorly of ourselves. Of ourselves. How often do we use words like, I can't, I won't, I shouldn't, I'm not able, I don't have, all those kind of words. It's time we realize that self-criticism and self-judgment are destructive to our spirit. They are destructive to our spirit. When we use that kind of language, we aren't just commenting on our life, we're creating it. We aren't just commenting on our life, we're creating it. We're maintaining the power of false ideas and limitation by continuing to talk about them to ourselves or to anyone else who wants to hang around and tell us their problems. So we're just reinforcing each other. That's why Dr. Barker once said, always speak well of yourself. It may not be socially acceptable, but it is always spiritually correct. It is always spiritually correct. So here's something you can try. Homework, if you want to call it. Try to think of life as a giant echo chamber. Okay? If I stand up and shout, don't do this in a crowd, okay? Do it at home, all right? But if I stand up and shout, Paul is a fool, Paul is incompetent, Paul is sick, Paul is poor, Paul is afraid, none of which are true, I'm telling you. But if I did that, do you know what I'll hear? You know what I'll hear? The universe, that perfect, creative, responsive intelligence that listens carefully and gives me exactly what I believe, will repeat it back to me verbatim. Verbatim. Not only that, it will then begin to make it the truth in my life. Because that's what it does. In the Old Testament, there's a verse in Isaiah, it says, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I intend." A truly powerful metaphysical statement. That's why we should learn to use our words to heal and to bless and to give gratitude for everybody, for everything that's around us, okay? So that what returns to us heals and blesses us and recognizes our value to the world, to the world. Really, it was a great piece of spiritual wisdom your grandmother gave you when she said, if you can't think of anything nice to say, don't say anything, all right? You know, spiritually speaking, we are all bilingual. We are. There is a spiritual language that we all learned before we got here, before we were born. And it's a language that we can never forget. And as we meet with others at the level where we are all one, where we all have that same language that we learn, no matter what language we speak here, that spiritual language is the language that we need to speak. That we need to speak because that is the level of perfect understanding. Perfect understanding. And the more clearly we understand the power of our words, the better off we are all going to be. This is the truth in your life. And this is the truth in mine. And so it is. So it is. All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Let's take a moment. A lot of ideas here. Take the ideas that resonated with you. I give them to you freely. Set aside the others for later. And let's know that the language of God is the language of life. Life speaks as nature. It speaks as humanity. It speaks as power. The language of life surrounds me. And that language is expressed from the intelligence of spirit. And in my life, my language comes from the intelligence in me. I allow the language I speak to reflect the greatest good that I know, to reflect the most honest and true spiritual awareness that I can muster. So with every person everywhere, I speak my truth, but I speak it calmly, respectfully, and peacefully. I also listen to others from the best possible place. I realize that sometimes they may not be saying what they mean. Sometimes they may be coming from fear, but I do not listen in a way that feeds the fear. I never listen in a way that feeds hate or judgment or gossip or criticism. I listen from love. I listen from love for all of life, expressed in every way. I realize that there are many, many opinions, many, many ideas, many, many thoughts in the world, but all of them are a part of God. So knowing this, I give thanks. I give thanks to the ability to communicate the best that I know. I give thanks for the ability to honor others for what they say and what they believe. I give thanks for being here in this incredible world. Knowing this is the truth for me and everyone, I release this statement into consciousness, letting it be so from this moment on. Please join me in saying, and so it is.